children look like their parents in one way or the other. So when God says, let us make man in our image, another one like this, God is saying, let us create a family. Amen. You are created to be a part of God's family. It's sin that came through Satan and separated you. That is, if you are not born again. And if you are not, you can be. But Jesus came to restore you back. It's not everybody that is born again. You cannot be born again by mistake. You are born again by choice. You make that choice. It's an expression of your love back to God. Amen. We were saying last week, he said, why do you have to face any temptation? Why did Adam and Eve, why did they have to be tested? Because as an expression of your love to God, you must choose him. Hello? Every test you go through in life is an opportunity to choose God above any other thing. Amen? Love, genuine love, true love, will be tested. Amen? The value of love is the choice you make when it is tested. When it is tested and you choose right, you truly love. You may sing and say, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. Jesus said, if you love me, what will you do? You will keep my commandment. It doesn't matter. You can sing from yesterday to tomorrow. But if you're not going to do what he tells you to do, you don't love it. You just think you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to Isaiah. I don't want to stay there long. Where I want to stay long today is Matthew 4. It's still the journey. But let's go back to what we did last week, the fall of Lucifer. Isaiah 14. Please turn your Bible with me to Isaiah chapter 14. And you know, keep your heart open. Don't lock that door. Because once you lock it, God cannot reach it. He will only stay outside. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not going to break his way in. He's going to wait on you to open the door. Amen? Isaiah 14. And we're going to read again verse 12 to 15. So let's have a youth. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. Any youth in the house who is ready? Don't look sad. You're in church. This is the word of God. It's a good thing. Yes? Any youth ready? Isaiah 14. Someone between 11 and 18. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. Yeah? Any youth? Come on. We have quite a number of you. Yes, thank you. You are the celebrant, so you should read it. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. Follow your Bible.
How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods, far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to its lowest depth.
Amen. Thank you, Audrey. And that was New Living Translation, but it doesn't do justice to those verses. Yeah, it has misinterpreted some of them. Let's go to New King James. It's not your fault. It's just the price you pay sometimes for simpler English. They lose the meaning sometimes. New King James. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. New King James Version. Please follow.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which this weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
Continue. Verse 15.
Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's King James. New King James says, yes, you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Okay. Amen. He was not talking about the mountain of the gods. No, he's talking about the mountain of God. Amen? It's the holy. In fact, he says it's the holy mountain of God. And last week we explained to you that mountain of God is Mount Zion, is the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where God's throne is. The heavenly temple is on the heavenly Zion. Just like the earthly temple is on the earthly Zion. What we have on earth is a model of the heavenly. But the heavenly is bigger, better, yeah, greater. Hallelujah. So Lucifer was created perfect. Bible says that in Ezekiel it was perfect in all, you were perfect in all your ways until iniquity was found in you. Now, if I'm talking to a young person, you say, oh, so who created Satan? Well, I ought to say, well, God, because God created everything. But why would God make Satan? Because we know that Satan is what? Who is Satan? The devil. The one that does evil. Amen. How can God create Satan? Someone say, well, God is the reason for all the mess. No. He created Satan, not as Satan, but as Lucifer. And we explained to you last week that Lucifer is a good name. It's one of the best names. Yeah? It's the bringer of light. It's a light bearer. The shining one. The son of the morning. The morning star. Bible says Lucifer, he was full of wisdom and perfect. I mean, like, when the Bible says something, don't imagine. You see that? That means that, you know, you cannot have anything more beautiful than Lucifer. Because you say you are perfect in beauty. Of course, we know Jesus is more beautiful. Because Song of Solomon tells us that he's altogether lovely. Amen. But Lucifer was created perfect in beauty. He was perfect in his ways from the time God created him. But something happened and iniquity was found in him. How did sin enter Satan? What's the engine of sin? What makes sin possible? What makes sin ever possible? If you remove it, sin is not possible. Yes. What makes sin possible at all? Why can someone, whether angel or human, sin? Why? What is? So we're not talking about, there's no devil. If you take devil away, people will still sin.
Pride, selfishness, and free will.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I see more answers. I'm not saying you're wrong. Free will. It's not even pride, selfishness, it's free will. No matter how proud and selfish you are, if you can't choose, you can't sin. You can only sin because you can make a choice. If you're a robot, you can't sin. Amen. So it's free will. It's free will. God gave you free will. That's why you can sin. But that's only one side of the picture. God gave you free will. That's also why you can love. You can't love if you don't have free will. Amen. If you like program your robot to say, I love you morning, afternoon, and evening. It doesn't love you. It's only repeating what you put in. Amen. You can't sin if you don't have free will. And you can't love if you don't have what? And God is what? So there's no way God's going to have a family member who can't love. Is it possible? God's not going to have a servant who can't love. So he gave them free will. You see, your free will is a part of God given to you to function as a member of his family. Say, my free will is a part of God given to me to function as a member of his family. Hallelujah. All the best things in your life, they are tied to your free will. You can make choices. You can say yes, and you can say what? I say no. The problem comes when you use your free will against God. Amen. Because your free will is a blessing from God. It's an expression of love. It's an empowerment to love. So when you take it, that great blessing called free will, and begin to redirect it against God, that's what we call sin. Amen. It's like you lost it. You lost your orientation. You lost your purpose. You lost your mission. The very best thing in your life, you start fighting against it. It's like, you know, the term in medicine, and that will be far away from us, where they say your body is fighting against itself. You know, that's a terrible thing. Yeah? That's the same reason. That's the same thing when it happens when you take your free will and redirect it against the source. Amen? And that's what happened to Lucifer. Yes, he was beautiful. He was wise. And all of us seated here, you have good things in your life. Say to yourself, I have good things in my life. God opened my eyes one day and said, there's nobody, even the most broken, that God allowed to come into this world that he didn't give them a gift. When the spirit is created in the womb, see, your spirit is not created, your spirit is not, you know, alive just when you came out of the womb. It's from conception. God put a gift, at least one, in every person. Amen? It's the devil that comes in. When you see people broken, it's the work of an enemy. It's not the work of God. Because when God creates something, it is perfect. Because God is what? God is perfect. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God is light. And what? In him, there is no darkness. So if you see darkness, sin has happened somewhere. There was no darkness in all eternity until Lucifer sinned. Then you saw what? Amen. So if it's broken, there was darkness. Darkness came in to interfere. Yeah? Then you see brokenness. But the darkness is not possible without iniquity. Amen? Because before darkness can happen, someone has to rebel. Darkness cannot happen unless someone did what? Rebelled. That's why this world we have today cannot be perfect. Why? Why can't this world today as it is be perfect? Why is it impossible for this world to be perfect? No matter how hard we try, no matter how much science and technology, how, why will we never have a perfect world right now? I'll give you all the clues before. Come on, church. Why would this world never be perfect for now? Yes.
Because the devil's in this world and we have free will to, like, be tempted by the devil.
Okay. Assume we took the devil out. Why would still this world not be perfect? I just want to show you that the devil is not the only problem. Yes, it's part of the problem, but it's not the only problem. Yes.
I think because we human beings are in flesh in terms of being stubborn. A number of us know the right thing to do, but because of that free will God has given us, we believe we can get away with it. You know?
Yes.
We just believe we can get
away with it. Thank you. I just want to show you an insight. So long there are people in this world, so long there are people in this world who choose to rebel against God, you will never have a perfect world. Because they open the door to darkness. You may be walking in light, yeah? But someone around you is opening the door to darkness. That's why the world can't be perfect. But you know what? Darkness doesn't have to dominate you in your own domain. Amen? Light can dominate your domain. You can see God. He said, your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. You know how that will happen? It's through you and me. Amen? Amen. Because the only other way is for God to kill every other person. And he will one day. Let me tell you that it's the Bible book of Revelation. That the time is coming when God will say, enough is what? Enough. And then it will wipe out every unbeliever. But it will have given them enough opportunity. Because God is not willing that any should perish. But that all should what? Come to repentance. That's the love of God. He is not willing that any, not even one soul to perish. But souls will perish because they continue to rebel. You see, rebellion, yeah, is the misuse of free will. What is rebellion? The misuse of free will. Amen. And so, Lucifer had free will. Yeah? And he became full of himself. Someone say full of himself. And that's what we call pride. You can't be proud until you think you are better or you deserve better. Amen? And let me tell you, Pride has only one son.
Well, he has many daughters.
I'm joking. I'm joking. You know the son of pride? It's called stubbornness. So when you have someone who is very stubborn, inside that stubbornness is what? They believe in themselves. You know, in my mother tongue, they say that they are certain of themselves. They are so sure of themselves. That's what empowers stubbornness. Amen? It has to do with self. So let me tell you what sin is. Sin is not necessarily because Satan is coming to tempt you. Yes, he's helping you to sin. Yeah, that's his job. What a ministry. The ministry of Satan today is what? Tempter and adversary. What's the meaning of Satan? Tempter and adversary. But that is not the way I would define sin. Sin is the pursuit of self above God. Anytime you are pursuing yourself, yeah, above God, you are in sin. It's the genesis of all evil. When I don't put God, yeah, to drive my life, I'm pursuing myself. And I'm just wanting God to stamp my forms. That's sin. Because you have become a God to yourself. Now you are better. You are trying to do better for yourself than God can do. That's sin. You've kicked him out of the driving seat of your life. And that's exactly what Lucifer aimed to do. I explained last week. He said, Lucifer did not want to overthrow God from the universe. Simply because he can't. A created being cannot overthrow the creator. It doesn't have the capacity. It's impossible. But what he wanted to do was overthrow God from his domain. He said, I will be like the Most High. So basically, God, we've done this mathematics. We worked it out well. You stay in your domain, and I stay in mine. Don't disturb me. And I won't disturb you. Amen? But I know that many of us today, we are not like that. Yeah? How many people want God to stay in his domain and you want to stay in your domain? Anyone? No. Let me tell you what we do. We do an adulterated version. We say, I want to be in my domain, deciding and controlling. But God, all I need you to do is bless me all this. Stamp whatever I do. Amen. You see, grace cannot abound when you are living in sin. Grace, you need grace to do the will of God. When you're outside the will of God, what do you need? Well, you need mercy. God cannot give you grace outside the will of God. How can he give you grace to propagate rebellion? Hello? Now remember, if you are getting confused, mercy is part of grace, but it's the minimum level. When you are outside the will of God, what do you need? Mercy. When you are in the will of God, what do you need? Grace. Grace abounds. So if I'm praying, I cannot just pray for someone and say, let grace abound for you in all you do. I don't pray that prayer because I know that some of the things you do are wrong. Amen? I will pray for you and say, let grace abound as you continue to, for you as you continue to do the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Lucifer, yeah, pursued himself. He became so full of himself, yeah, that he sinned. You know what the meaning of that sin? He kicked God out. That's what he did. I want you to understand sin. He kicked God out. Iniquity was found in him. Nobody tempted him, but when you become full of yourself, sin will come. Amen? And that's how he was cast out of heaven. Where was he cast to? Let's ask Andrew. Where was Lucifer cast to? You can chat with someone. Okay, I won't put you on the spot. Okay, you want to help him? Where was Lucifer cast down to from heaven? It's simple. Just follow the logic. Lucifer was cast down from heaven to where? Anyone? I won't put you under. I've learned. I'm not going to put you under pressure. Yeah? Anyone? Anyone? Lucifer was cast down from heaven to where? Check in your book, Isaiah 14, is there? Imagine, look at it, it's there. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. In fact, I think it's in verse 12. Somebody, Maddie, read for us Isaiah 14, 12. From your lovely... Sorry? It's off. Okay. Somebody help. Somebody help me. Isaiah 14:12 from your Bible. Yes? You have your smartphone? Yes, let's have that.
Cast to the earth.
He was cast down to the ground. And of course, once he was cast, once you know, before he was cast, he was judged. Before God cast him, he has judged him. And his name is no longer what? Lucifer. What's his name now? Satan. Or did what? The devil. Where is the devil now? Right now, where is the devil? Where is the devil? Hello? Can you with me? Where is the devil right now? So I'm doing this to make sure you're engaged. Yes.
He's everywhere on earth.
He's on earth. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is going out to and fro. Where? In hell? He's on earth. Looking for whom to what? To devour. So I know whether if sometimes you watched a movie, and they're showing the devil in hell. No, he's not in hell. He's on earth. Amen. And we here until Jesus returns. Then Jesus will cast him down into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. You know why we do that? So that God will give us an example of life without Satan. Jesus will come to reign on earth physically for 1,000 years. And the devil will be. Of course, sin will be reduced. But you also see in the Bible that it's not eliminated. There will still be people who will rebel after this 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. So now let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. I want to now, in completing this message, I want to explore the ministry of the devil today. And how we can overcome the devil. Because the devil is no longer a nice guy. He can present nice. He can present nice, but he's not nice. You know there are people that present nice. Have you met them? But they are not nice. They can give you a nice smile, talk politely. But when the chips get down, you see their true color. Amen. I hope your true color is good. You know, I hope that when you are provoked, when you say, I will show you my true color, I hope it's a good color. Hallelujah. Because if your true color is not a good color, you're an hypocrite. Amen? Your true color should be the love of God. Amen? That's who you are in Christ. Amen? So I'm a new creation in Christ. The old things are passed away. Don't claim them. The old things are what? Don't go digging for them. That's not your true color. That was your old man. Amen. When the chips are down, when you're under pressure, claim your new man. Don't claim your old man. Because your old man is crucified with Christ. Amen. Matthew 4. I want to talk about this part of the Bible in a different way today. I've taught it before. The temptation of Jesus, you know about it. Well, hopefully I'll show you something different today that will bless you. Matthew chapter 4. Yes, let's have somebody read verse 1-2. Matthew 4:1-2. Someone who has not spoken today. Who has not spoken? Anyone not spoken yet? Matthew 4:1-2. You've not said anything during this sermon. Yes. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1-2. You can do New King James Version. I prefer that for today.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry.
Verse 3.
Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.
Amen. Just from what we read. From the things you read in Matthew 4:1-3, what can you tell me about the devil? You know, we look at Isaiah 14, it tells us about Lucifer. Now, we come to Matthew, he's telling us about Satan. And showing us some aspects of his character and his behavior and his ministry. Yes, what can you tell me? What do you see about the devil in Matthew 4:1-3? Just one point about his character or behavior or his ministry. Yes. Let's try you first.
He's a tempter.
He's the tempter. It's an officially recognized ministry in heaven. I want you to know that. Hello? The devil being the tempter is his legal role. It's legal. He has a right to tempt you. Just like your driving examiner has a right to test you. Hello? You're not going to get a driving license without what? I know you don't understand. You will soon understand it. You're not going to get a driving license without what?
Your driving test.
Without your driving test. If you like, be an international driver. But in UK, I don't know what you do elsewhere in the world, yeah? In the UK, if you want a driving license, who do you need? You need a test. Amen? It's official. The devil is what? By sin, he earned an official role. Call what? The tempter. And he's had at least about 6,000 years to practice. He's very experienced. Coupled with his smartness. Amen? Yes, what else do you learn about the devil? Yes, it's there. Look at it. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. You learn some things about the devil in verse 1. Because, as far as I know, in the New Testament, that's the first time the devil is being mentioned. And there's one principle in the Bible that says that. It's about Bible exposition. That any time a concept is being introduced in the Bible for the first time, it's telling you something very important about that concept. Matthew 4:1. Come on. Come on, church. Who's with me? This side. Okay, this side. Yes. Matthew 4:1.
Just looks for opportunity. Like if he saw that Jesus was hungry and then he came to say, if you are, you know,
yes,
hungry.
Yeah, that's verse 3. But I like it. He's going to, and what? What's he looking for? Opportunity. It's like what I told someone. I said, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're married, you can go to, marriage is good and can be beautiful, but it can be stressful. Do you know why it can be stressful? Because you have two individuals that have two free will. Not one. Two. And you're trying to harmonize. Yeah? It can be stressful when you are not harmonizing. When you are harmonizing, intimacy is the beauty of relationship. When you agree, you are united. It's beautiful. It's better than being single. But when you are not harmonizing, because the two wheels are fighting each other, it can be worse than being single. Hello? The Lord is good. And all the time. I've forgotten why I went there, but I'll get it back. I wanted to use that example to explain something to you. Something very important. Yeah? About, what did you say again? You remind me. Yes! Thank you, I've remembered. Amen. You know when you forget something, try to remember the last thing you said or was said. That's a trigger to remembering things. Amen. So like, for example, if you're preparing for an exam, yeah? Where are the people preparing for exams? Hello? And I'll try to have some bullet points. They're your trigger to remember. Amen? Bullet. Don't try to cram every single T and I. Because the moment you forget, it's gone. Read them. Understand them. But get some bullet points. They're your triggers to remembering. So, yes, coming back to marriage. You see, if your marriage is just only two people, yeah? It's good at the beginning. But remember that the tempter is going what? To and fro. He doesn't have any sleep. Can't sleep. So he's always trying to come in the middle. Yeah? Now, when the opportunity rises up for conflict, ask yourself a question. What am I about to do now? Who is going to be glorified? When your flesh rises up, yeah, you must ask yourself that question. what I'm about to do now, who is going to be glorified? God or the devil? Now, if you are born again, I know, because I'm not telling you, I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not perfect. You have feelings. You have things that will annoy you. It's okay. You're human. Amen? But the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Anger is not a bad thing. What is bad is uncontrolled, misdirected anger. You know that God is angry. I would say you love righteousness and you what? You hate iniquity. Psalm says God is angry with the wicked every day. Isn't your Bible? Revelation talks about the wrath of God. Yeah? But the wrath of God is holy. What did I say? The wrath of God is what? There's no sin in it. Because it's not uncontrolled, it's not unrighteous, it's not misdirected, it's not out of proportion. It's perfectly right. Amen. So, but when those emotions stir up, ask yourself, say, who is going to be glorified about in what I'm about to say now? Someone was so angry, say, I'm so angry, say, just told his pastor, say, it will never be well with you. Is that glorify God? He said, well, what, I was provoked. Yes, but you still have your control of your mouth. If you can't control your mouth, eat some chewing gum. Amen. You must learn to walk away and keep quiet, because the fear is, I don't want to glorify the devil. It's not about them. It's a more serious issue now. It's not about them. Yes, they offended you and you want to give it back. But in giving it back, will you give glory to the devil? That's what he wants. The devil wants the glory. What does the devil want in your life? The glory. I will show you here. It's there. But what does God want most in your life? Someone say God does not need anything. That's not Bible. What God don't need most in your life? Tell me. The glory. The glory. God wants the glory in your life. And that's what pleases him. To take the glory. But you can't take the glory without faith. Yeah? Because faith means that you focus more on what pleases him than what pleases you. But you know the reward for that is the blessing. Hallelujah. Someone said, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I will not allow the devil to be glorified in my life. That's a good word. I love it. It's a good motivation. In everything you want to do, just remember that who is going to take the glory? Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:1. There's still one more thing I wanted you to pick. I've not heard it. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What does that tell us about the ministry of the devil? Come on, church. Youth, you should be able to help me with this. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What do you see there? Come on, church. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was led by the Holy Spirit of God into where? The wilderness. Not the inhabited place, but the wilderness. To be what? What do you see there about the ministry of them? Come on, you must see something. I'll keep going. If you don't see it, then you'll see it.
Mm-hmm. It just shows that the devil can tempt us at any place. I mean, for somebody to even tempt you in the wilderness when there's nothing there, obviously, no food. You just saying, why don't you just deny this your God? What can he do for you, you know?
Amen. You know, I didn't see that, but it's true. Don't say, oh, the reason why I'm struggling is because of all the bad people around me. He said, it's my husband that is affecting me. That's why you cannot see me in church. It's my husband. It's the way he's treating me, you know? If God can fix him, I'll be okay. I'll be the best Christian. Yes?
I think what the Bible is telling us is that in life, you must face challenges.
Yes, that you can't. The Bible says, in this world, you will have what? Tribulation, but be of good cheer. And I like the way you said that it's challenges. You know, someone spoke to me last week, I was like, you know, talking about maybe something I'm going through. I was like, it's a challenge. for me to overcome. Amen. The purpose of the challenge in your life is that you will, what God wants you to do is go through it in the way that honors Him and overcome it and bring glory to His name. It's only a challenge. Amen. It's not the end of your life. Hallelujah. Whatever you are facing now, yeah, God can take you over. Amen. And God wants you to use your faith, yeah, and your faithfulness in Him until you conquer. But if you allow yourself to be distracted, it will sink you. It can sink you if you allow yourself to be distracted, to lose focus. You're only going to walk on that water if you focus on Jesus. If you take your eyes off Him and begin to look at the winds and the waves, what will happen? It will sink. Amen? But there's one more thing I'm looking for. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Come on, church. The key is in the first four words. Anybody? Come on, church. What do you see there about the ministry of the devil? Sorry? No, that was not the devil leading. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Let me get this first.
I think when you're in the will of God, the devil tries his best to distract you.
Yes. I agree. Can you say it more clinically? They have a different version. That's what I'm saying. Do you want to say something different? Okay, pick your mic and just say something. Let me give you a fair chance. Then I will wrap it up there. Then I will take you now deeper. Go on.
So this was Jesus, the Son of the Living God, mm-hmm. God Himself in mm-hmm. flesh, mm-hmm. who the Spirit was leading. Mm-hmm. And here is the devil here just coming to come and sit with the God of the universe to mm-hmm. come and have a chat about, you know, so He's already said that, you know, I will be like the Most High. He wants to be there anyway. So He comes as a parallel government, if that makes sense, come and talk about that.
You're touching what I want to go. Yeah. You know, when I'm reading Matthew 4:1, I'm remembering the Garden of Eden. Where was the devil before Jesus led? Where was the devil before the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness? In this verse 1, just imagine, where was he? Based on the tense.
Was in the wilderness.
He was waiting there. Where was he? He was there waiting. You don't read that, okay, then they called the devil in. Yeah, there was an appointment. It's like, okay, the pastor took his son to the driving center to take his driving test. Where is the examiner? At the driving test center. I hope you can follow that picture. Someone said, look, when God created Adam and Eve and they were perfect, why we God put a tree? Why we God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden? When God knows fully well that if they eat it, trouble. Why? It's part of the plan. Amen. It is a battle for glory. It's what? That you love God means that you want Him to take the glory in every part of your life. And that involves sacrifice. If God is going to take glory in your life, you're going to deny yourself of some things. Yeah? Because those are the things that the devil will use to try to get you. Are you with me? The tree was there. From the moment he made the garden. You know, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was in the garden before Adam was introduced to the garden. It's part of the plan. Because inside you, yeah, if you are born again, you have the Spirit of God, you have the love of God, and you also have the Word of God, you can overcome that tree. Yeah? The love of God in you can overcome that temptation. That challenge you're going through, yeah? The life of God in you has the capacity to overcome it. If you couldn't overcome it, God is unfair. Yeah? And God cannot be unrighteous. Amen? God can hold what? It can't be what? Unrighteous. The Bible says God will never allow you Say never. To be tempted above what you are able to bear. But that's not the end of the story. He said, with the temptation, it will also provide you what? A way of escape. So why we go through all this pain? Because he wants to take the glory. He wants to demonstrate through you what he can do in a life that is yielded and submitted to him. Why did God allow the children of Israel to become slaves in Egypt? Because he wanted to show what? His glory. Amen? He broke the back of Pharaoh. He parted the Red Sea. Hallelujah. They walked on it as like what? As dry ground. And he told them, he said, the Egyptians you see today, you would not see them what? Hallelujah. I remember the song we sang when we were younger. Say, you are the Lord, and that is your name. You will never share your glory with anyone. You will never share your glory with anybody. Hallelujah. Almighty God. That is your name. Now, in another sort of 7 minutes, we'll finish this message. There's a part I need to teach you. I think it will really help you. Before we do that, let me just tell you something about Satan, the current ministry of Satan. Yeah? He's the tempter and the adversary. Amen? He's the antagonist. He's the prosecutor, the accuser of the brethren. These are all legal roles. See, Jesus comes back, he has the right to function in these roles. It's recognized in heaven. But in you, greater is he that is in you than he who lives in the world. Why we God allow you? He wants to prove to you. See, you may be, we as human beings are saying, oh, why we God allow there to be a tempter or a adversary or a accuser? Yeah? From God's point of view, God is saying, God is part of the punishment. You know, devil has been judged. So any role is assigned is a punishment. Hello? If you take a criminal, yeah, and you judge them and give them sentence, all that sentence is what? And they can't repent. So all they are getting is punishment. Am I right? It's not correction. You know, someone can repent, you can correct them, send them to a correctional institution. Someone cannot repent. Whatever you are giving them as your punishment, as a judgment, is their punishment. So the roles of Satan as tempter and adversary is a punishment to him. How? Every time you allow God to rise within you and you choose right, you are punishing what? The devil. Because he was there before. So what he lost, you as a man, yeah, you are showing him that this is the way it ought to be done. Amen? Hallelujah? He would not submit to God. But you as a man, you are submitting to God. It's a punishment to his heart. You're giving him heartbreak. At attack. Amen. But anytime you don't, you are helping it to mend this heart pain. The devil is not happy. He's in pain. He's a sad man. He's a sadist. And he's a sad man. Have you noticed that sadists are sad? And that's why they're trying to inflict pain on others. Hallelujah. Every time you choose what honors God, bringing glory to the Father and pain to the adversary. And that pleases God. Now what? So for 6,000 years, God is depending on human beings to punish the devil before he cast him down into the bottomless pit and lake of fire. Can you see the beauty and glory of God? He's a marvelous God. Hallelujah. Let me share this and we'll leave it. This will really bless you because it blessed me. It's a revelation that came to me like overnight. I mean, yesterday, sorry, when I was meditating. And that's why it's good to meditate on the Bible. Don't just read it. You know, like my sister there would say, think about it. Think upon it. You know, think about it. Think upon it. Go keep rolling. Ask questions. Ask questions. Ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit. I do it. I don't understand this. Please explain. Amen. Now, let me test who understands it. Matthew chapter 4. This is the last one, and I'll finish on this point. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5-7. Now, before we read that, I just want to explain something. The devil is a tempter and adversary. The master strategy of the devil is deception. Yeah? And coercion. Deception is to, you know, tell you a lie. Coercion is to force you by circumstances to do the wrong thing, even though you know the right thing. Now, I want to say that the devil is the master magician. Magic is the art of deception. What is magic? Deception. There are two approaches to magic. There is the mental or intellectual magic, where they just play tricks on you. Yeah, you can't see what they are doing. Yeah, you're looking and someone appears to be cutting a rabbit. Or no, pulling a rabbit out of a hat. You can see the rabbit come out of the hat. But it's an illusion because you are not seeing the real thing happening. So you are deceived mentally. Yeah? Are you with me? It's also like maybe you go into some churches and they try to impress you with the music and the effects and everything. You are in an emotional frenzy. Yeah? It's still magic. It's what? It's magic. It's intellectual. It's emotional deception. The devil is into that business. He's a deceiver. But there's another type of magic called spiritual magic. Now, you're being deceived by hypnotism. Yeah? So, when people go to visit a sorcerer, yeah? He's a magician. Please repeat up. Say a sorcerer or a diviner is a magician. They are all into the business of deceiving you. Because only God is true. Anything outside of God is a lie. What did I say? Only God is true. Anything outside of God is what? A lie. Let me prove it to you. I won't go into the Bible. I'll just show you. There was a time that King Saul, yeah? He wanted to go to a battle and he was wanting to know who will win. So he goes to consult a sorcerer. So you know what happened? The sorcerer used his magic and brought up Samuel out of the dead. And then Samuel spoke to him and said, "You will lose." That was not Samuel. Amen? When someone has died, they can't come back. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, it says, it's appointed to men to die what? Once. I mean, they can be resurrected, but when they are dead, you know, like, I'm not talking about someone who is dead 2 days, 3 days, 4 days can be brought back and they will live as human beings. Someone has died 20 years ago, they are dead. They are dead. Any appearance of death is magic. And the goal is what? To impress and deceive you. Amen? Are you following me? So, spiritual magic is to use the power of the occult to manipulate, hypnotize, and deceive you. You never remain the same. When you consult magicians, something good goes out of your life. Every time. Because the devil is a thief. And he comes to do what? To steal and kill and destroy. There's no transaction you have with the devil that he won't steal something from you. Amen? So let me ask you this question and we'll finish there. Matthew 4, 5-7. Yes. We was no Bible. Okay, who has a Bible? Yes. Matthew 4, 5-7. Let's finish there. Let me just explain that. Matthew chapter 4, verse. Please follow in your Bible. We'll finish on that and I'll just show you something very good there.
Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God."
Amen. Question. This is the star question. What does it mean to tempt God? You just read it, yeah? He said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." What does it mean to tempt God? What does it mean for a human being or a created being to tempt God? Okay, to help you, what was wrong with Jesus jumping down from the pinnacle of the temple? particularly because the devil quoted this verse and is in the Bible. He said, he will give his angels charge over you to do what? To keep you in all your ways. Yes, anybody help me? Either what? Okay. Either what he missed to thank God, or what was wrong? Why didn't Jesus do it? I mean, what's sinful about jumping from the temple and angels catching you? Anyone? You want? Yeah, go for it. You can hold it.
It's because you undermine God's truths already. Like, you undermine God's truths already.
You undermine what?
God's truths.
God's truth. Yes. The part I'm picking there is undermine. Yes, more. What does it mean to tempt God? Or what is wrong with Jesus jumping from the temple because he will give his angels charge? Come on, church. You can do it.
Yes. He wants the devil to control him.
Yeah. So, yes. So, basically, what is the motivation for this jump? We turn to your neighbor, tell them, what is the motivation? Come on, tell them, say, what is the motivation for what you are doing? Hello? What is the motivation for what you are doing? Yes?
So if Jesus jumped, God couldn't have taken the glory.
Yes, and why couldn't God take the glory?
Because the Satan would have yielded to
because
to
he was doing
and
the
Jesus
will.
Would have yielded to Satan, yeah. And that would not the will
yes.
of God.
Let me help you polish it. If Jesus jumped for the from the temple down, he would have joined for vainglory. He would have joined as a pursuit of his selfish ambition. Yeah. Anytime, I'm going to say some big statements because I'm preaching the word of God. I will tell you, anytime you are pursuing your selfish ambition, don't presume that is the will of God. If it's the will of God, God ought to have spoken to you through his word or through his spirit. Sometimes you land in trouble in your life because you were pursuing what? Your selfish ambition. I'm saying it looks good, but God is not there. Amen. Are you with me? It's just like if I decide I want to contest as the president of Nigeria. It may look good, it may look influential, but is that what God sent me to do? And if God did not send you, yeah, he can't reward you. God called me to be a pastor. And I said, no, I want to do politics because there's money there. People may praise you. They may celebrate you. Yeah? You may even become very popular. But God is not there. Amen? To tempt the Lord, your God, is to be outside his will and presume that it will bless it and back it up. The Bible says in Exodus 20, it says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. It says, thou shalt not make for yourself any graven image of anything, whether on earth, in heaven, or on the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Now, if you are worshiping an idol and expecting God to bless and back you up, you are tempting the Lord your God. God told you specifically, he said, do this. You refused. You went to do something else. But you're expecting God to back you up and bless you. You are tempting the Lord your God. In fact, let me say it in the way that you understand it. To him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him what? It is sin. You know, I told you last week, I said, if you don't know the right thing and you're doing the wrong thing because you don't know the right thing, you are being stupid. Now, by the way, I don't call people stupid. I'm just explaining the situation. Yeah? But if you know the right thing and you are still doing the wrong thing, you are not stupid. You are being foolish. That you are tempting the Lord your God. You knew the right thing. But you are taking your chances and taking God for granted and thinking you will get away with it. You are tempting the Lord your God. Let's stop it there. Let's rise up and talk with God. Time has run out, so I have much more to say, but you don't have to say everything in one day. So just talk to God about what you've learned today. We're talking about, you know, how to have the victory over Satan. And the victory simply points your personal compass, not towards self, but towards God. If he has the first place, he will take the glory. If you put him in the second place, I didn't say last place, I didn't say third place, And it's the fourth place. If you put God in the second place, he can't take the glory. You are treating him like your dog, you know? You know why people like dogs? Because they are loyal. Yeah, you want God to be loyal to you. But no. He will not share his glory with you. He created you. You are called to be loyal to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He takes the glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's just talk to God. I want you to just, you know, talk to God. If while during the message, God has been showing you any part where you have been pursuing yourself. Pursuing yourself. It's called selfish ambition. Pursuing vainglory. Pursuing you. Instead of God. You're not putting him first. Is that what it means? You're not giving him first place. His word, first place. His will, first place. Yeah? That's the same sin of Satan. I want you to redirect that compass and say, Lord, you are first and foremost. In all things, I want to live for your glory. And you cannot live for his glory without aligning with his word. Because his word is his will. I give myself, you know, you've come too far. You can't be playing the game. You can't be playing the game with God. That's tempting God. When you are playing games with God, you are tempting God. You come clean and say, Lord, I repent of every idolatry in my life. You have to drop it. He said, the Lord our God. He said, he's a jealous God. I mean, like when I was younger, I was afraid to read that place. Like, how can God be jealous? But it's the jealousy of love. Amen. When you love, you want the object of love to be for you only. Amen. For you only. Hallelujah. So I want you just, you know, really can say, God, you alone. You alone. You alone. You alone. First. Not second. First. In all things. And the Bible says that when you're doing that, we are living by faith. Hallelujah. You will bring pleasure to the Father. And then he will reward you. He will reward you. Some of the problems in your life that are not solving, we never solve until you give God his rightful place. Because if God solved them, yeah, it will not help you. You will continue in your old evil ways. But when you give God, when you drop it, you come to, how about enough? You've trusted the wrong person. You are trusting the wrong person. You are trusting the magician. His goal is to deceive. Drop it and give God his rightful place. He will take the glory. Then he will do for you what no man can do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God takes the glory, he will do for you what no man can do. Hallelujah. He will do for you what? What no man. There's nothing that motivates God to move in your life as much as he's taking the glory.